Y'all are sneaky. Sneaky. Well, good morning and thank you. It's good to see you all here at worship today. And again, feel like the few, the proud, the Marines, everybody out in the snow. Thanks for being here and blessings to you. We do feel very welcomed here, and I feel very welcomed here and feel very loved. So thank you for that. Before we get started in worship this morning, a number of announcements. Please keep Denise Masbergen in your prayers. She's in the hospital with influenza. Also keep Abram Schrader in your prayers. He was born, let's see, what was it? It's a couple, Valentine's Day baby. Abram John, he was 8 pounds, 12 ounces, and 22 inches long, and they're both doing very well. I was going to go visit them, but the OB ward was all closed down for influenza, so don't go anywhere near the child, so I didn't. So keep them in your prayers and give thanks to God for the birth of a healthy baby boy and healthy mom. Also, I think work group number 2, if you're in that group, which I am, we're going to be setting up after the service downstairs, I think some as well. And then next Sunday, there will be a celebration of 110 years of marriage total. Both Tom and Ina Bjorgi and Pete and Mary Ottima are celebrating their 55th wedding anniversaries. So there will be cake and stuff after the service next week. I won't be here. That's another announcement. I'm going to be gone on vacation. So you take care of them and they'll take care of you with the cake. And rejoice with them in the joy of 55 years of marriage next week with them. Beautiful number. As you can see, we're celebrating the Lord's Supper today, and our policy is if you're a Christian and if you have been baptized and you have professed your faith in Christ as your Savior, you are welcome at the Lord's table to come forward at the time and to take the bread and to dip it in the wine and participate with us. And always on Communion Sunday, we have a special offering. Our special offering today is designated for Youth for Christ, Plymouth County. And then also today is very busy, we're having our nursing home ministries. And since the pianist won't be with me because she's practicing for the other announcement that Glenn will make in a second, I'm going to be singing all alone unless other people show up to sing with me at the nursing home. So I encourage you to show up so that I don't sing all alone. We're going to be at Prime Living at 1:30 and then Plymouth Manor at 2:15. And people there always appreciate our presence. As I mentioned, I'll be gone this week, so starting Monday through next Monday, I'll be gone. If you need anything, talk to your elders. If there's a major emergency, of course, you can call me. I'll be in town, but I'm just sort of a stay vacation this week. Afternoon Women's Bible Study, it's meeting February 20th, Wednesday afternoon at 1:30, Lesson 2, Who is the Holy Spirit? And be signing up for Meals on Wheels out in the back there. I see there are no names signed up yet, so I encourage you. Leave with you, sign up for that. It's a good experience. All right, Glenn wanted to make a couple of announcements, lest I forget.
We have praise band tonight about 5 o'clock. That
5 o'clock, yes, praise band.
Praise band about 5 o'clock, so everyone can show up. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Glenn. So yes, we're having our praise band fest, and there's a little insert in your bulletin about that as well. So encourage you to come to that tonight as well. A very busy day here at Calvin Christian Reformed Church, and there will be a light meal afterwards. I think that's it for announcements. Let's start with our call to worship, which is Psalm 1. We're going to read it responsively together. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Brothers and sisters, we are those who are planted by streams of living water, planted as those planted by the sovereign king to be beautiful, flourishing trees in his garden. And we come as those who are planted, and we sing with joy before him our hymn of praise this morning. As we come with our hearts rejoicing as one church of God together, we come and we hear together God's greeting this morning. Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Having heard God's gracious greeting to us, in awareness that he is a good and kind and merciful God, we confess our sins to him this morning, saying together our prayer of confession. Forgive us the sins of disunity, O Lord, pride and jealousy and narrow-mindedness. Forgive us the sins of false unity, lack of imagination, apathy, and indifference. Make us one in genuine love and mutual trust. Make us many in gifts and talents and vision. Amen. We are the ones who struggle with unity. We are the ones who are often selfish and petty. We are the ones who sin in heart and action. And yet, even still, our God is filled with grace. He is the one who has called us to this moment, and he is the one who wills to be our Father. As John Calvin once said, we struggle to recognize that God is our Father, that he is not the one who is alien to us, but we are the ones who are alien to him. We are the ones who have fled from him. And so hear now the words of the Father in the Son through the Spirit. If you have confessed your sins, Jesus says to you, your sins are forgiven. And that is the promise of Scripture itself. And as we receive that promise, in joy of that promise, that peace that we have with God, our gracious God, we turn and we pass that peace on to one another. And since it's flu season, we wave Jean and Lee at one another. And we bless each other in Christ's name this morning, greeting each other. And so, as our Heavenly Father seals our hearts for his courts above, we come together in prayer. You may be seated. And we pray together in the name of Jesus, in the power of the Spirit. We bring all of our fears and our cares to him. Would you pray with me this morning? Holy Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are prone to wander, and we do feel it. We are prone to leave you, O Lord, the one we love. And so we do pray that you would take our hearts and seal them for your courts above. And it is into your courts that we enter in the powerful name of Jesus, in Jesus himself, through the Spirit. And we bring before you all of our praise and our thanksgiving. Everything that is in us, we offer to you. We stretch out our hands to you, for we are a needy people, and you are a giving God. And because we are a needy people, we bring our needs before you this morning. Lord, we think of Denise Masbergen in the hospital right now. We pray, Lord, that you would be with her and you would help her to get over the flu. Give her grace and peace for this time. Lord, we pray for Sandra, John and Mary Van Hill's daughter. We pray for healing for her from her cancer. Give her grace, we pray today as well. We pray for Greg Smith. We pray, Lord, for continued effectiveness with his treatments, and we pray for remission for him, Lord. We pray, Lord, for Glenda Hoffland and Arlen Hoffland, each with their own struggles. We pray that you would be with them and bring them healing. Lord, we give thanks for the birth of Abram. And Lord, we pray that you would be with him throughout his life and that you would bring him into your kingdom, Lord. Make him to be a shining light among his peers. Bless him, we pray. Bless his mother as well. Give her good health in the coming days. Lord, we also pray for our missionaries, Lord. We think of the Havlicheks and the Michelsons, and we pray that you would be near to them and give them what they stand in need of. Lord, we pray for Nomi Voss as she too struggles with cancer. Lord, give her healing. Give the doctors wisdom in how to deal with her cancer. Lord, we prayed for this evening's Praise Fest. We pray that it would be to your honor and to your glory, and we pray that there would be generous giving for the cause of wheelchairs. Lord, be with our shut-ins. Be with Frank Vandenbosch and Patty Ritzema and Margaret Hopp. We've already prayed for Denise, and we think of Jan Sneller as well. We think of Audrey Van Grau and Ken Van Grau, too. Be near to all of them, Lord. Be near to all of them. We know that someday we, too, could be shut in, that we, too, might not be able to make it here. And so we pray, Lord, that they would feel like they are one with us this morning. Remind them of your care and your grace and that we are all one in Jesus Christ. Lord, be with us in our brokenheartedness, for there are many sorrows and cares that we do not share with others, but are buried deep within our souls. Heal us of these as well, we pray. Bless us with your grace. We are your children, and we come in Jesus' name before you. And as your children, then we pray Jesus' prayer, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. At this time, I would ask the deacons to come forward to take our morning offering.
Jeremiah 17, verse 5 to 10. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in men, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when he comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought. It never fails to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind, to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Reading 1 Corinthians 5, 12 through 20. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are all of the people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading this morning and our sermon text comes from Luke's gospel, Luke chapter 6, verses 17 to 26. And again, we read it from the center of the people of God because this is your story. This is Jesus' story come near to you, the one who became human flesh. And so your lives are bound up with him and his life is bound up with you. So hear now the words of Jesus, the story of Jesus near to you in your very heart. Jesus went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon. These had all come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. Looking at his disciples, Jesus said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. Brothers and sisters, this is the good news, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
Well, again, this morning we continue our series from the book of Luke, and it's a series we're going to continue through the season of Lent. Luke's gospel and all of its joy and all of its sorrow as well. Would you pray with me this morning that this story, again, that we have heard many times, the story of Jesus' sermon on the plain, as Luke tells it, would come near to us? And that the story of Jesus would become our story. Would you pray with me this morning? Holy Spirit, breath and wind of God, blow down upon us with Pentecostal fire, so that our eyes and ears might be opened to the truth as it is in Jesus. That my mouth might be opened and my tongue set loose to proclaim wonderful things in your law, the story of the risen Christ, the crucified Christ who conquered the grave. Without you, Spirit of God, bringing us to Jesus so that we might have communion with the Father, without you, this will be chatter, nothing. And so we pray for you to come upon us. We call you down upon us. We pray, confident in your promises, that where two or three are gathered together, there Jesus is present by his Spirit. We hold you to this, Lord, and we expect your grace. Be with us for Jesus' sake, in the power of the Spirit. Amen. So I told my catechism class that I'm going to start with a joke. I rarely do this because they're usually not funny. But I told them they had to laugh, and they were trying to gauge when they had to laugh. So we had a whole discussion about when it would be appropriate for them to laugh. So hold off, I haven't told it yet. You've probably heard this joke before. I've heard it told in at least three different church contexts, in a Lutheran church context, in an Anglican church context, and in the Dutch Reformed church context. And I think even Dave Hector may have told this joke once before. I could be wrong. Dave can set me right if he didn't. But the joke, of course, goes like this. There's a Dutch Reformed Christian who is marooned on a jungle island. And 7 years later, a merchant ship drops anchor there in the harbor. And the sailors are going around the island and they discover the Dutch Reformed Christian. And he proceeds to lead them around the island and show them how he has lived for 7 years like a regular Robinson Crusoe. He has found a way to keep the water pure. He has found a way to tame the local flora and fauna. A herd of wild goats is now tamed for meat. He's even built himself this massive house. And then, beside his massive house, this even more massive hut, gorgeous to behold, with great bamboo pillars. And he leads all the sailors into the hut. And there in the hut are pews and a pulpit. And he says, "This is where I worship. This is my church." There's even a bamboo organ off to the side. And the sailors are dumbfounded. This is amazing. But then they step outside and they look 100 yards down the beaten path. And there's another hut that is exactly the same size, with a little cross on top as well. And they ask the Dutch Reformed Christian, "Well, what's that?" At this, his eyes go cold, twitches a little bit. "That's where I used to go to church." It was good. You kind of joke. You laughed, right? I'm not hearing my catechism students laughing. Well, we all kind of laugh because there's an element of truth to it. And there's enough of an element of truth that I've heard this joke, again, like I said, in a Lutheran church, and I've heard it in an Anglican church, a sense that there is something about Christians who we're a bit of a fractious lot. We have a tendency to sort of split and build a new little hut often enough. In fact, of course, the Christian Reformed Church was born out of a split. Now, if you can call four churches leaving the RCA a split, I don't know. That was pretty dinky. But we left and we built our own little hut. There's a tendency to split and make new denominations. Happens a lot. People are always trying to count, but we know that there are thousands of denominations around the world now. And in some ways, that is to our shame. Jesus, of course, in John 17, prays and begs God that all of his disciples might be one, even as he and the Father are one. And it seems as if that prayer has not been answered yet. And we as Reformed Christians, we confess both the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed. The Apostles' Creed says, "And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church." It doesn't say the Holy Catholic Churches. It says the Holy Catholic Church. And, of course, the Nicene Creed really puts a point on it. "I believe in one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church." But how do we reconcile this oneness with the fact that we have a tendency to build lots of new huts at every chance that we can get? How is it that God can bring us all together as one in unity, despite all of our many and varied differences? In some ways, our text this morning gives us a picture of how this happens and how this will happen. Can you picture the scene? Jesus is coming down from the mountain. Coming down from the mountain, his eyes ringed with dark circles from a full night of prayer. And he has newly christened his 12 disciples. These will be the apostles. He comes off the mountain to this great plain, this flat place. And there at the base of the mountain, at this flat place, there are crowds upon crowds waiting for him. Crowds of the sick, crowds of the curious, crowds of potential disciples. And they are all eager for him. They are from various backgrounds, we are told. Tyre, Sidon, these are Gentiles. No doubt a few Roman soldiers thrown in for good measure. Some Judeans as well from Jerusalem. And yet they all have one thing in common. They have all come to hear his fair words and to receive his healing touch. They are all needy. They need Jesus. And so, rather than being polite and everything. They rush towards him as one great mass of people, one great mass of need, and they begin to stretch out their hands towards him. If only they could touch him. Stretching out, reaching, clamoring. The wild demoniac throwing himself forward, his hand brushing Jesus' ankle, twisting and rolling back through the crowd as it parts, foaming at the mouth, and then sitting up clear-eyed and clear-headed for the first time in 10 years. The palsied man trembling his way forward, stumbling, grabbing hold of Jesus' sleeve. The tremor is so violent that he rips his sleeve off and then falls over backwards only to fall on a steady hand and to stand up and walk away without a single shake. People in need of healing, children with sloughing sores, Roman soldiers with war wounds, all coming forward to touch Jesus. Parents with wandering minds and wandering steps brought forward to lay a hand on this man upon whom the Spirit of God has come, the power rolling off of him. If they can just touch him, united in their need. And he turns none away. Luke tells us that all are healed. And as it goes, no doubt his hands are becoming bloody and his feet scratched from all the clamoring and clawing. His robes torn. Wave after wave of the needy pressing upon him. If they can just touch Jesus. And it is in this jostling of the crowd, this jostling of needy people who would just touch, just brush his skin, that Jesus looks up, his hands and feet bleeding, and he looks into the eyes of the 12. Blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will laugh, for you will laugh. And blessed are you when people hate you and when they throw out your name as evil because of the Son of Man. For they did the same to the prophets. Their fathers did the same to the prophets. Jesus couldn't be any more clear than if he grabbed hold of the leper who reaches for him, took hold of her hand and pointed to her open sores. This one is needy, and so she will be blessed. Those who have need, those who stretch out their hand towards me, blessed are they. Blessed are they. They have nothing, and they will receive everything. They are united in their need for me. And yet the sermon is not over. For then, like Jeremiah the prophet, who cried out, "Woe to those who trust in human flesh, who do not trust in the Lord," Jesus begins his woes, his four great woes. Woe to the rich, for you've already received your comfort. Woe to those who are well fed now, for you will be hungry later. Woe to you who laugh now, because you will mourn and weep. And woe to those for whom everyone says, "Oh, you're great, you're wonderful," because that's the same way that their fathers treated the false prophets. Woe to those who are self-sufficient, who do not stretch out their hand in this moment and need me. Those who hold back, who don't need, woe to them. But blessed are those who come together and hang on to me, who, if they could just touch me, blessed are they. You see, Jesus blesses those who are united in need for him. Who need him. Doesn't matter what kind of need, whether they're the flailing demoniac, whether they're the trembling, palsied man, whether their mind wanders and they don't even know why they're there, but they need, and so blessed are they. And this, of course, is a picture of church unity, of the fractured people brought together around the one Christ. It's very interesting. In her autobiography, The Hiding Place, Corrie Ten Boom retells a story from her time at the prison camp in Ravensbrück. And for those of you who are not familiar with the story of Corrie Ten Boom, Corrie and her sister Betty were the daughters of a clockmaker in Holland when the Nazis overran the Netherlands. And they hid Jews in their house. And Corrie's father would die in a prison camp. Corrie's sister Betsy would die in Ravensbrück. But Corrie would survive through the whole Nazi experience. And Corrie recalls a time there in Barracks 28, how in the evenings they would get their ladle of turnip soup and they would work their way to the back of the dormitory where there was a single light, a single bulb casting its wan glow over the cinder blocks. And as they ate their ladle of turnip soup, women would begin to crowd into the bunks around them. For this was their evening worship service, a worship service that was so popular that they would do two worship services a night. And Corrie remembered those services. She said they were like a little slice of heaven. She said one worship service could begin with Roman Catholics chanting the Magnificat, and then some Lutherans whispering a hymn, and then Eastern Orthodox women chanting in low voices. And then, she said, Betsy or I would open the Bible. And because only the Hollanders knew Dutch, we would translate freely into German, and we would hear the story passed down, translated again and again into Czech, into Russian, into Polish, into French, and then back into Dutch. And Corrie said, when I was sitting there in Ravensbrück in Barracks 28, she said, I would think about the churches there in Haarlem in the Netherlands. Their massive buildings, their iron gates held back against each other. And yet, she said, I would think in this moment of need, there the light of God shone the brightest. You see, they all needed Jesus in that moment. There in Barracks 28, Roman Catholics, Eastern Orthodox, Lutherans, and Dutch Reformed. They all needed Jesus. They were all there on the level plain, all stretching their hands forward in that moment. If they could just touch him, one in their need, in their sense of lack. Because, brothers and sisters, this is how Jesus will fulfill his prayer. This is how the Spirit of God will bring us all together as one holy Catholic and apostolic church. Jesus shows us our need of him, and teaches us then to reach out our hands as one towards him. Desperate. Desperate with the Roman soldier, missing the eye, staggering forward. If he could but see again. There's the thrashing demoniac, the man with the palsy. There's the steel worker recently laid off, stretching forward his calloused hand, his Make America Great Again red hat on. And beside him, a New England professor in tweed, pushing up the glasses on his nose with the I feel the burn lapel pin. All various views, various places, and yet all reaching forward for Jesus, because all need Jesus. This is how God unites his fractious community, his people who build more and more little huts on the island, by showing us our need of Jesus. And our differences matter, I'm not papering over those, but our unity is in Jesus the Messiah. He is our hope. And we're all there on that level place, that plain. There's no one sort of creeping up the side of the mountain so they can get a better view, reach in, better angle to touch. We're all together clutching and tearing at him, trying to get to the one whose hands and feet are bleeding in that moment, and yet who turns none away. Blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you. So this morning, do you sense your need? Are you aware of your own wickedness? Are you aware of your dangerous complicity with this world? That you are a sinner, that you have need? And are you reaching to Jesus in this moment? Or maybe today it's not so much that you know you're a sinner, you're well aware of your need in that sense, but your own flesh, your own mortality is teaching you in this moment that you need Jesus. Death is near. Near for all of us, but maybe more real to you because of physical circumstances. And you sense your need of Jesus. It doesn't matter what kind of need you have, but just need. I need him. I need to touch him. I need. And in that moment, you are one with the church of all ages and all places. Places even far flung around the globe, where those who are persecuted sense their need, where their smug self-satisfaction is wiped away by the reality of lost homes, lost friends and family. They are the ones who stretch out their hands in need and grasp Jesus' ankle as they are put in orange jumpsuits and led out beside a lake in Syria. They're the ones who need to feel Jesus' hand squeeze them tight as the black-clad men put knives to their throats. And in that moment, they are one with us, and we are one with them, because we all need Jesus. And we all stretch out our hands towards the one standing there on the plain with the bleeding hands and the bleeding feet. We need Christ. Do you need this morning? Do not be proud. Do not put your trust in others. Put your trust in Christ. For the woes are to those who do not need, who do not stretch out their hands in desperation to Jesus. This morning, we are going to celebrate the Lord's Supper, a sign of our unity together in Christ, because this is the place where we stretch out our hands again to touch him, stretch out our hands in need to him, the place where he stands with bloodied hands and bloodied feet, resurrected from the grave and yet still bearing the marks of the cross upon him for you and for me. This is where we find unity again as we reach out towards the one Christ. A few weeks ago, I was in Wichita, Kansas, at a conference, as many of you know. And my friend and I, after the conference ended on Saturday night, the next morning, we went to the hosting church's worship service. And the hosting church was St. George's Antiochian Orthodox Cathedral. That's a large mouthful. Very different from a Dutch Reformed service. And beautiful in many ways. There were a few moments where my good Protestant side kind of gritted my teeth. We said a prayer to St. George Chrysostom, which I did not participate in. No, we're not praying to saints. Jesus unites me to the saints. The saints do not unite me to Jesus. And yet, as we got to the end of the service, very interesting, we got to the end of the service, and it was time for the Lord's Supper. And of course, not being Orthodox, I was not allowed to come forward and partake. But do you know what the priest began to sing? And the choir began to respond, and the people in the pews began to respond? Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Right and good it is, and in all ways to give thanks to you, O Lord God, our Creator. It was the very same liturgy I had presided over the week before here in Lamar's. people in Wichita reaching forward to touch Christ, needing him. And so this morning, reach forward to touch Christ in your need with the people in Wichita, with the people in Burundi, with the people in Beijing, with the people in Iraq, with the people in Poland and Zaire, because you are one with them in Jesus Christ. This is how Christ unites us and brings us together when we come with our need. Blessed are you, the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. So brothers and sisters, stretch out your hand, recognize your need, and receive grace. Enter into unity in Christ. For he is always our good news. He is always our gospel. The one who stands on the plain with scratched, bleeding hands and scratched, bleeding feet, torn robes, giving himself to us in his mercy. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. And so it is that we do come to communion in this moment. We do come stretching our hands towards the one who gives us life, not building lots of extra little huts, but instead gathering together around Jesus. Again, our policy is if you have been baptized and you have professed your faith in Christ, you are welcome at this, the Lord's table. If you have been baptized but haven't professed your faith yet or just haven't been baptized at all, you're still welcome to come forward and I will pray a blessing over you. Just put your hand on your heart so I know. I'll pray for you in that manner. Let us commune together, not only with our Father in heaven through Christ and the Spirit, but all the people of all ages and all places who stretch out their hands towards Jesus. All who are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and who have expressed their love for Jesus within the fellowship of the church are welcome at the Lord's table. Come, for all things are now ready. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Holy and right it is in our joyful duty to give thanks to you at all times and in all places, O Lord our Creator, almighty and everlasting God. You created heaven with all its hosts and the earth with all of its plenty. You have given us life and being and preserve us by your providence. But you have shown us the fullness of your love in sending into the world your Son, Jesus Christ, the eternal Word made flesh for us and for our salvation, the one, Lord, that we reach out and seek to touch this morning. And for the precious gift of this mighty Savior who has reconciled us to you, we praise and we bless you, O God. And with your whole church on earth and with all the company of heaven, we worship and adore your glorious name, saying together, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Most righteous God, we remember in this supper the perfect sacrifice offered once on the cross by our Lord Jesus Christ for the sin of the whole world. And in the joy of his resurrection and in expectation of his coming again, we offer ourselves to you as holy and living sacrifices. And together we proclaim the mystery of the faith, saying together, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. And so now we pray that you would send your Holy Spirit upon us, that the bread which we break and the cup which we bless may be to us the communion of the body and blood of Christ. Grant that being joined together, united in Christ, we may attain to the unity of the faith and grow up in all things into Christ our Lord. And as this grain has been gathered from many fields into one loaf, and these grapes from many hills into one cup, grant, O Lord, that your whole church, may soon be gathered from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when they had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Brothers and sisters, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. I would invite the elders to come forward at this time. Brothers and sisters, come forward, stretch out your hands, and touch Jesus for you this morning. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. 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 The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always will. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you. Remain with you always, Angel. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always, Lucia. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. 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 The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always, Michaela. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always, Lydia. Body of Brothers and sisters, would you stand now for our parting benediction? As you go out now in mission and in ministry to love and to serve God, go out with your hearts reaching out towards Jesus. He is the one who unites you together as one. He is the one who unites you with all the Christians in time past, time future, and around the globe. Christ is the one who makes us one. And receive now the parting blessing of our one God. For there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is in all and above all and through all. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. And all of God's children together as one said,
Amen.
Just felt the Spirit leading me to say a few words here. As Pastor preached this morning about the unity of the church, tonight we're going to have a chance to actually practice that unity in our Praise Band Fest with our church, the Lutheran Church, and probably some members of the Sunnybrook Church that some of the band of Jill Miller belong to. So I'd just encourage you to make every effort to attend, to invite friends and neighbors. We just would like to be able to praise the Lord with a large group tonight. And I just like to express my appreciation to our praise band. I know how much work they've put in and how much the other bands have put in. And in the Jill Miller band, we have a lady that just her whole life is serving the Lord, and she's just going to be tremendous. So, and with that being said, the only reason we all do this is just to praise our Lord and Savior. That is the main thing. So please do everything you can to come in. Thank you.